Welcome, welcome back to Real Talk Rangers. It is Sunday, and it is November 6th, and we are officially rolling. This team is firing on all cylinders, as the cliche goes. They are looking incredibly fast. They're playing with a high level of skill, and really in all facets of the game. It's not just the incredible depth that we've had thus far. It is also the defense and the goaltending, including our backup, who is looking like he could start for many teams in the league. But at this point, we're looking good. The future's bright, I think, for this team is something to say. It's an understatement. And we are officially 9-3, so we are sitting atop our division. And, yeah, just all positive so far. But we're going to get into hockey. We're going to get into the Rangers, as we always do. We just want to start off this episode a little differently. We're going to add a new segment in, and this one is Beer of the Pod, or BOP. So we're going to go with a BOP here.
And starting with a BOP?
Starting with a BOP. So I've opened up. I actually don't have a beer for the first Beer of the Pod. I have a hard cider that I've never had before. So we're going Angry Orchard, Apple Ginger Hard Cider.
Oh, apple ginger.
Ah, that's subtle. That's subtle.
Subtle.
It's crisp. It's a fall drink, you know. I could see this hanging out, maybe wearing a vest outside while the leaves are blowing, waiting for the game to come on. This is good. And it's not too gingery. It's a sharp bite of apple. I'm not really a cider guy, but I just wanted to try something I've never had. So this is decent. Derek, what are you drinking over there?
Well, I literally hate ciders, but just for the record,
they're gluten-free.
Last night, so I actually have season tickets to the Army hockey games, and last night I had a few brewskis and went over to the Army hockey game. They actually lost to Air Force last night, but they beat Air Force on Friday. So pretty great atmosphere there. Got to give props to the service men and women out there. But so this morning I woke up, you know, I was feeling not too great. So I'm actually drinking a homemade pumpkin spiced iced coffee.
Wow.
I'm drinking right now.
It's pretty basic.
Let me give me a sip right here. It is delicious.
Can you taste the basic?
Yeah, I'm pretty much a basic white boy. just couldn't handle the beer at 12:30. I'm going to the Rangers game tonight, so I'm gonna get going with the beer again in a few hours, maybe 3-4 o'clock, then get a nice primer before the game, and then we'll see.
Okay,
You know, I don't know what I'll be drinking later, but we'll see. Something Canadian. Probably something Canadian.
You're telling me you're not trying to rail beers, gas some beers at 12:30 on a Sunday? All right, questionable, but hey.
Hey, you know, gotta be a real person once in a while.
That's fair. I guess that's fair. So let's you want to talk hockey today? Should we get in hockey?
Yeah, let's talk some hockey.
All right, we're gonna do a quick week in review, a really quick week in review, because there are actually only two games to review as we dropped our last pod in the middle of the week. So Thursday night we played Edmonton at home, and we beat Edmonton at home. It was a 5-3 victory. I thought that it was one of the more exciting games so far this year. Kind of stands out just in terms of skill and speed. I was definitely looking forward to having Edmonton on the screen, getting a chance to see McDavid and obviously Cam Talbot playing really well, and the rest of those guys, Jesse Puljujarvi, however the hell you pronounce his last name, they were pretty much as advertised. I thought it was a really, really good test against a good team from the West, and I was very happy with the outcome. So you had Hayes had a goal and two assists. Grabner had a goal and an assist. Rick Nash scored, revitalized Rick Nash. What were your impressions here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was like we said earlier in the last pod for the week ahead. It was speed versus speed, and that's what we got. It was a lot of great pass plays, a lot of speed. Really, the story of that game and sort of the story of the last week has really been that Grabner Hayes Miller line, which we'll get more into later, but you know, the first, you look at the box score, and the first goal is Hayes from Grabner. Second goal is Grabner from Hayes. So it's like, right. Okay, yep. Something's going on. Mm-hmm. Then Miller gets the fifth goal. So it's like something's brewing on that line. And then you're thinking, okay, it's just one game. And then Saturday rolls around, which we'll talk about in a minute, and it continues. So, you know, just all around, you know, great game. One of the better teams in the league right now. We're handling them like any other team. I mean, there's just no
There's no drop off. There really wasn't a drop off.
There's
just,
no
battle.
Yeah, there's no team right now that seems like they can threaten us, I guess is what I want to say, without being too cocky because it's early in the year. But, like, I mean, we've beat some of the best teams in the league, like, significantly, you know?
Yeah, so. I think it's totally fair to say that. You want to get into Saturday?
Yeah, so Saturday, you know, the Bees. The Bees, getting the Bees up in Beantown. You know, they're struggling right now. We had called in the last pod that Ronta likely will get the start. You just figure Boston's not scoring goals. They're on the road. Let's throw Ronta in there with the back-to-back tonight, coming home against Winnipeg. So we end up winning 5-2. Hold on. Nick Holden gets his first goal. Kind of, you know, good low shot. Just sneaks its way through.
He's really holding up back there, yeah.
Holden is really holding up. God, we could just punt it all day.
Pretty solid.
With Holden.
Pretty solid.
You know, Holden's kind of holding the blue line, you know? We can just keep going.
I would agree with that.
Quick stat real quick on him. He's a plus 11.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
And he's also – he's never been a minus this season. In all 12 games, he's either a plus or an even. He's never had a minus game, which is pretty phenomenal.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think you summed it up pretty well in terms of the decision to play Ronta in Boston – Ronta Rask, it was a good matchup. Ronta is just playing excellent hockey. I think at the beginning of the podcast, I kind of called for Ronta to play more this year. I just think it makes sense given the age of Hank and really the ability and skill of Ronta. Now you're seeing that he is more than capable of coming in and holding his own any night. There's really not much of a drop-off in the team's play at this point. You don't really worry more because he's in the net, I would say.
I would argue the team actually plays better around Ronta.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to get into. They kind of just drive each other. I think it's, you know, you won't admit that consciously. You won't say, oh, the backup's playing, so we got to bring it, boys, tonight. But I think that it's there. It's a real thing. Hank's not in the net. It's just it's a night where Hank's not behind you. And you want to go out there and give your best effort. And I think they really did. I want to quickly compare. I actually thought that looking at Boston, so it's a team, they had won three straight coming in to last night, I believe, and Rask was playing lights out. He was 6-0.
Yeah.
Incredible. I think save percentage is like .950, something like that. But I see a lot of comparables between Boston this year and the New York Rangers of last season. And
how so?
I think that you can see it in terms of their top six heavy, right? So they're not—they're really not getting a lot of depth scoring. I mean, their third line coming into last night's game had a combined 0 points.
That was amazing. That's crazy.
Incredible. That's a mind-bending stat. But I just think that so they're not—they don't have a lot of depth. Their defensemen, a little bit older, a little bit slower, and you're not really able to rely on them every night consistently in their own zone. And they're really just relying on incredible goaltending to win them games, pull out games, which they had been doing up until last night. So I just think – I really just think that it's a good comparison to see the evolution of the Rangers and how our depth has really changed the outlook on the team and kind of separated us from teams like Boston.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think the other big take home from last night's game was special teams. Holden scores the first goal, you know, even strength. Then Stepan scores a shorthanded goal. Then Hayes scores his shorthanded goal. Then Buchnevich scores the power play goal.
Right, true.
And then Grabner scores the fifth goal, which we'll talk about Grabner. Obviously, he's playing tremendously. But
yes,
the big story there, Grabner also had another chance at a shorthanded goal. Stepan, it was a 2-on-1 shorthanded. Stepan made an amazing pass over to Grabner. It was just a little bit hard for Grabner to handle, and he just fanned on it. So, I mean, in theory, we had two shorthanded goals, almost three, and a power play goal. I mean, that's your special teams. It doesn't get any better than that, really.
That's pretty
and
incredible.
And we predicted earlier in an earlier pod, I think it was plus or minus or, you know, over under seven shorthanded goals, and we have two in one night after game 12. I'd say seven's probably still a pretty good number, seven or over.
Yeah.
Stepan and Grabner on the kill. is pretty amazing, because Stepan is great defensively, and he's also just has great hockey knowledge, just where to be and plays to make. And Grabner offers the speed and lately scoring ability.
Yep.
That's a pretty deadly combo to have up top on a penalty kill.
Could not agree more with that assessment. Actually, did you – so first off, Derek Stepan is one of my favorite players. He just uses his hockey IQ and just ridiculous passing abilities. Did you see the pass he made to Buchnevich last night for his first Geno, which is also a beauty. That was a beautiful shot. But it was just incredible. It just finds him through like four Bruins. After the game, Stepan was quoted and saying, I think he said that Grabner was probably the best penalty killer he's ever played with or ever seen, which is high praise from a guy that you could say holds his own as a penalty killer. Yeah. And the two of them together, I really can't think of two better guys I would rather have on any team killing penalties out there.
And also to note, Stepan's also played with Carl Hagelin, who's also one of the best penalty killers out there. So if Grabner's even better than him, that says a lot.
It does say a lot. That's really encouraging. So the Rangers, over their last four, they're on a four-game win streak. The last four games, they have outscored opponents 21-6, which is pretty okay.
That's incredible.
And so with that, though, so we just broke down the quote-unquote week in review. It was only two games because of the timing of the pod, so we just wanted to do a quick star of the week, just star of the week, single guy for the last two games. So who do you got there?
I'm actually going to kind of take a roundabout approach to this, because I don't really want to single somebody out for these last two games. I'm actually just going to call out the third line in
general.
Good
call.
So the third line with Grabner, Hayes, and Miller. I mean, Grabner has 7 points in four games, 5 goals, 2 assists, a goal in each of the last two games. Hayes has 8 points in four games, which is unbelievable. Three-game
goal scoring.
Yep. 3 goals, 5 assists, a goal in the last three games. And Miller's just been phenomenal. He's topping, you know, pretty high up on the list of just points league-wide. That line's just been amazing. I mean, if they can keep up anything like that, and to be a third line, making that much, you know, producing that much is really unbelievable.
Right, and they're all, every single one of those guys, so Miller, Hayes, and Grabner, they are all plus 11 right now, which is tied with Nick Holden for the team lead. And all three of those guys are playing on a line on the third line together. I have never seen anything like this from a third line, which is it's just ridiculous. You could see it last night. Every single game, those three, if they're playing like this, are going to have an enormous advantage over other teams' third line. You saw it in Boston. They just dominated. They go out there. You can't stop these guys because you have to roll out. Bergeron and Marchand can't play 50 minutes a night. It's just it's a huge advantage. And as long as those top six keep steadily producing as well, which they are, this team is going to be really hard to beat.
It's also an interesting line as far as the type of players they are. It's a line that you wouldn't really expect to have. I mean, Grabner has shown he can score goals in the past. He's had 20 goal seasons with the Islanders. Right. But you know, in this stage of his career, you don't really think of him as a third line guy. You think of him more as a fourth line guy. But he comes onto this third line and offers a tremendous amount of speed, and as of right now, a tremendous amount of goal scoring.
Right.
And then you have Hayes, who's kind of underperformed and is a little bit slower. You know, his hockey playing is a little bit more, you know, he's a bigger guy who just gets into the corners, and he doesn't really offer any speed. And then you have Miller.
More than last year. I would say more, because he really did. I think he lost 20 pounds in the conditioning.
Yeah,
you can see it a little bit. But I agree, he plays a different kind of game.
He plays definitely a different game. And then Miller is just a flat-out grinder. I mean, he'll grind all day long. He gets
he's
into the dirty areas.
One of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic of a line. And I wouldn't really think it would work, really, to be honest. But it has been. And, you know, I hope they can keep that up, clearly.
I think you're right. I think credit has to go to not only the players themselves. And I'm going to single out Grabner really quickly, because I wrote down Grabner for my star of the week. But I like what you did with just throwing the whole third line in there, because they really all deserve it.
You kind of have to.
They really all deserve it. They're feeding off each other. Although Grabner on the penalty kill is something special to behold. I've never seen anyone just flat out make a defensive play, and then he's up the ice on a 2-on-1 in 2 seconds flat. It's ridiculous. It's crazy to think how horribly misused he was in Toronto last year, scoring 7 all year and being just part of a terrible team. But I think credit has to go, obviously, to the players. Credit has to go to Vigneault. He recognized that Grabner was playing really well, and he felt the decision was right to move him up to the third line and play with a little more skill. And clearly it's been mutually beneficial for all three of those guys. I also want to just give a quick shout-out to JT Miller in the regard that he rocked Milan Lucic on Thursday night. He absolutely rocked him. Luch turned around, did a double take to see who it was, and he kind of shook his head when he realized it was Miller. I mean, this dude is something special to behold. I am going to throw you a wild card question right now.
I'm ready.
So, when we're looking at the outlook of the Rangers, there is still the possibility of a trade. I mean, right now you don't mix anything up, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, I don't know, maybe they think they can move a guy for a top four D-man. Maybe they want to look for some kind of power play specialist, point producing guy. I don't know. Just out of the blue, if you had to move one of these two guys for a Jacob Trouba, let's say,
okay,
who would you move? It's JT Miller or Matt Zuccarello.
Wow. Do I have to pick one?
Got to pick one.
Oh,
embrace debate. Embrace debate.
Honestly, I'm not really sure I'd move either of them for Trouba in particular, but
that was just generally.
Wow.
Top four guy.
Wow.
Just as a credit. More as a credit to the way Miller's playing. He's played himself right into that borderline untradeable talk.
You know, I think I would have to go with Zuccarello. And the reason I say it is just because, I mean, Zuccarello is a phenomenal player, and he offers pretty much everything you can want out of a player. And obviously just his heart is the most I've ever seen on any type of, you know, any type of Rangers team. But I think Miller, as he has a much higher upside. I mean, he just gets better. Every week he gets better and better. And last year he said, like, I just want to be noticeable on the ice every game. Every game, I just want to make sure that I'm on the scorecard, or like I'm noticeable on the ice. And
incredibly
he's proven
humble.
That.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's proven that every week. You know, Zuccarello, I want to say he's probably close to his max, his plateau of what he can become, which is a great player,
right,
obviously, but he's more likely to be coming down than going up. And Miller is for sure on the climb. So that would be my reasoning.
Agreed. And I like the reasoning. And I know that was a tough one, because nobody wants either of those guys going anywhere. And they shouldn't be the way this team's playing. But just a little hypothetical, a little hypo. Bring me back.
And this team is likely a really good defenseman away from making a pretty good run in the playoffs.
Exactly. That's probably going to be the question. It doesn't necessarily have to be Trouba, maybe Fowler. I don't know. But one of those young top four type guys, maybe Shattenkirk, haven't heard his name in a while. But I think at some point the team – well, we're still early here, but at some point if they continue playing even close to this, they're going to be in the conversation. If they want to be there towards the end of the year, we'll see if they think they need an upgrade.
And also what's interesting, you mentioned Shattenkirk, is you haven't heard a lot about him, which I think is going to change soon, because every year that Shattenkirk gets brought up about being traded to the Rangers – St. Louis is having a phenomenal year. They're playoff bound. They can make a cup run. This year they're having some struggles. So if they continue to struggle throughout December, January, February, I think you're going to be hearing a lot more trade talk about that, because if they're not contenders, then you know they're going to think about dumping Shattenkirk before he becomes
a
free agent.
They're
going
to have to move him. I mean, they're 6-4-2. They're still
solid,
but they're not the same Louis they were. Agreed. Not right now. They're struggling a little for their standards.
Right.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it for the weekend review and our star of the week. So should we go around the league a little bit?
Yeah, let's go around the league. Some of the headlines I've been noticing. First of all, for anyone who doubted the Blackhawks, and we talked about this in the pod multiple times, you know, they're back. 5 in a row.
Yep.
Some people were doubting them early in the year. They had a tough run out of the gate. 5 in a row, Blackhawks are back. Also the Caps, 5 in a row. You know, those top teams, they can struggle for a week or two, but they're always going to be right back there in the hunt.
Yep.
Nothing really more to say about that. Big news for Pittsburgh, and I know you know this. Mr. Matt Murray has returned, and he has swiftly First game back, shut out the Sharks.
Yeah, he's so. Okay. He's okay. Yeah. It was actually his second game back.
Oh,
but his
really?
First game back, he had, I think, a 34 out of 35 shot save win. So
good.
In two games, I think he's faced like 65 shots. He's saved 64 of them, and he has a shutout. And they just went into San Jose and demolished a good Sharks team.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to also give the quick shout-out to Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
Man, this guy. It's good for the league when its top players are playing to their ability. First off, when they're playing at all. But the guy, I mean, what can you say? Six games played. He's leading the league with 8 goals. He scored
Unreal.
An absolute stunner last night.
Yep.
He just batted the puck down right onto the ice with a stick midair and then banked it off the goalie. They chased Jones out last night. They're rolling with Murray and Theo Fleury. Andre Fleury. That's a little Rangers talk there. That's real talk,
Oof.
Rangers.
Oof.
Let's move on. So anyway,
Pittsburgh's a really
good team. Also.
Yes. So, you know, this has come up a few times in the league now about Fleury, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, the Flower. What do you do with him now? If you're the GM over in Pittsburgh, what are you doing?
I think he has to be moved. I think he makes too much money, and you don't want to risk losing him for nothing to the expansion draft. I mean, a guy like Flower is going to probably be, if he's available, he'll probably be the starting goalie on that team. I just see no way that they hold on to him and just he leaves town and they get nothing. Meanwhile, they just signed Matt Murray to a multi-year deal at a pretty modest amount of money. So
yeah,
I think that's pretty much – he also just won you the cup. So I think this guy is obviously the goalie of the future. He's the goalie of my fantasy hockey team, and I'm all in on Matt Murray.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's – you know – Murray is their future, but do you consider sticking with the two goalie system throughout the year and throughout the playoffs and try to win another cup? I mean, it's pretty much what they did last year, although Murray was like mostly the starter for the playoffs and toward the end of the regular season with all the injury to Flower. If you get rid of Flower at the deadline, do you risk playing Murray too much and having a probably a subpar backup for the time being? And do you worry about if, God forbid, Murray does go down, you know, at least you have Flower in the background? But I do agree, you lose him for nothing if you keep him. So it's kind of I almost think they go for the two goalie system and try to do exactly what they did last year.
Right. It's a question. Do they worry for Murray?
Do they worry for Murray?
I agree with you. I think that, I mean, the Flower's clearly very good still as well. And he's got a quick cup on his resume also. As a starting goalie, anyway, I could see them rolling the two-goalie system. If it's working as well as it's working right now, and they feel that they have the shot, which they're probably going to be in that conversation. Right now they're 8-2-2, and Crosby has missed some time, and he's clearly in his prime, in his form right now. I think it could work. I mean, you do worry about losing him for nothing, but I just don't, clearly he's going to be there until the trade deadline. So this is a conversation to have later on, more games played, see how the two goalie system is working out. But I think it's a good problem to have, the two goalies.
Of course.
Anyway, but yeah, so just wanted to comment. I think the Metropolitan Division looks really scary up at the top. So Rangers, as well as we're playing, obviously we're 9-3, Pittsburgh's 8-2-2. And then Washington's 8-2-1, like you said, coming off a bunch of games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I think any of those – I didn't anticipate the Rangers being right in that conversation, but hopefully we'll remain here as these three teams separate themselves from the rest of the division.
Yeah, and I think that's likely to happen. It's really lining up to be I know you're talking about playoffs here. We're talking about playoffs?
I just want
to win a game.
Practice.
Yeah, we're talking about playoffs in the beginning of November here. It seems a little crazy, but it's going to be a hell of a playoffs, even in the West with some of these new teams coming out. I mean, it's crazy to think about the playoffs right now, but I'm just imagining a Washington-Pittsburgh, division or Rangers-Washington conference final, like just something. I'm looking forward to it already. That's just how excited I am about it.
Yeah, me too.
Can we talk, please, about the – the like me playing like my friend Chris Seymour just smacking of the Canadians by Columbus, 10-0.
Yeah. Wow. That was listen, you gotta play the game.
Right? It was like a video.
You gotta
game.
Play the game. That is Montreal's only regulation loss on the year.
Wow.
And they got absolutely whitewashed. It was a
spanked.
Massacre. I believe they also left Al Montoya out there to dry for all 10 of those goals.
They certainly did.
Which is absolutely incredible. You can picture Therrien on the bench just shaking his head and that smug little face of his.
I was just going to comment. I mean, if I could be a fly on the wall in one place this week, it would have been in that locker room after that game.
Yeah.
And you know, either two things happened. And I'm kind of hoping it's the second thing I'm going to say. I think the first thing is he goes in and just rips everyone, which I don't think is what happened. I'm wondering if he just didn't say anything. He just walked in, kind of looked at everybody, and then walked out. I'm hoping that that's what happened,
because
I think that would be the most effective way to go about that game. Just pretend like it didn't even happen and just play the next day.
Right. There really wasn't much he could have said. I mean, I watched the highlights of the every single one of those goals, the football score, and – I thought, I mean, it was just really, truly embarrassing. They were just getting obliterated. There was really no effort. And it fell apart on them. But then the next night, they come back and they beat Philly in a big-time shootout, 5-4.
Yeah.
So, which I did bet the over on.
And
they came through. So, seriously, that's their only loss of the year, regulation loss. It just shows you, you know, any given night, anything could happen. But Montreal, they're still pretty good.
Yeah, Vegas has probably lost a bunch of money on overs on these Canadian games last couple days.
They've lost a bunch of money on overs in the league, it feels like.
They're probably going to keep losing some money if the Canadians keep playing the way they're playing.
Right.
The other thing, I don't know if you saw this. I want to give a shout out to Austin Matthews and Marner up in Toronto. I don't know if you saw them on the bench singing to Bon Jovi.
We're halfway there.
The funniest part about it is, okay, like, you know, that's a very singable song. I mean, everyone, when it comes on, you kind of want to sing it. But the funniest thing was that Babcock was on the bench, like, talking to the two referees.
He was having the most serious conversation I've ever seen on the right behind them.
Right in front of them.
And the kids are just having a ball on the bench. It's great.
The two refs are hanging over the bench trying to talk to Babcock about something, and Matthews and Marner over there just singing Bon Jovi, having the time of their lives.
Dude, Marner was belting it out.
Which I just think is just great for their team, and just great thing to see everyone having fun out there.
They're having fun. They're playing really well. I got to admit, it's good for the league. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto's good. It's good for the league. So, and they're about 500, a little bit over. So they're a really interesting team to watch as well. Maybe they can contend with some of the stragglers. Maybe they'll be right there with Boston at the end of the year. But there's a lot of time left to see what's going to happen there. Really
yeah,
quickly.
Bottom,
oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, bottom line, I mean, Toronto's a huge hockey town. They deserve to have a good team. They're definitely, you know, they have a team in the works. They're improving every week, every year. You know, the next few years, they're probably going to have a phenomenal team if they're able to keep some of their young players, which, you know, I think they will. I don't think they have a very high payroll. So in the next few years, we should be seeing better and better teams up in Toronto.
Yeah, I agree. Let's really quickly just wanted to drop some team stats for the Rangers thus far. So we've got goals for right now. Through 12
absurd
games, they are at a 4.17 clip.
Unbelievable. Pulling away from other teams.
First in the league by more than half a goal.
Yep.
They are firing on all cylinders right now. Goals against, they're at 2.25 goals against a game. So that's tied for sixth in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Their power play is at 22.7%. That's at eighth in the league, and the penalty kill is at 82.3%, which is 13th. But like we said, they scored two shorthanded goals last night, and I'm not too worried about the penalty kill with Grabner and Stepan and Nash and the way that everyone's rolling right now. Also, second in the NHL in goals for are the Philadelphia Flyers. They have 45.
But what's the caveat?
They're so you would say, wow, those guys are really putting the puck in the net. Good for them.
Sure,
they got to be playing well. Their goals against, the highest in the league, 48 goals against. So they're scoring 3.46 goals a game, and they're giving up 3.69 goals a game. So they're opening up their brand of hockey, you could say.
Yeah, and that explains their 6-6 record.
Exactly.
It explains why some of the members on that team can have two goals and an assist and still be a -2, which is just unheard of.
It really is.
But it speaks volumes to what the Rangers are really doing, just as far as goals for and goals against. I mean, 50 goals for and 27 against. That's unheard of. It's unheard of.
Actually, so with Stepan finally scoring his first goal of the game. First goal of the season last night, we now have every single regular playing time forward has scored. Only three regular time guys who have not scored are Kevin Klein, who, I mean, that's fine. Just keep playing solid D.
Yeah.
We got McDonough. He's got 9 assists. I'm not too worried. And then you got Brady Shea, who has 7 assists and is now evolving into a complete two-way defensive player. He is looking very good. He made on Marchand, I believe it was, last night, where Marchand tried to put the puck around him, and he just stopped him, took it, moved it up, and they were away the other way. So I'm very encouraged by him. And also a quick shout-out to Dan Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
The return of Dan Girardi, the one that we knew and loved. He's really good. He saved a goal last night.
Yeah.
He's looking renewed, like Vigneault said he would be. He's a warrior. He's a grinder. But honestly, all of our defensive players are playing up to their standards right now, and some are probably surpassing them, like Holden. So
yeah,
things are good in Rangers Town right now.
Yeah, Shea, I said this in the last pod. Shea has proven to me that he's NHL caliber defenseman, but every single game, and maybe he's sticking out to me more because I'm trying to pay attention to him more, but every game he just proves to me time in and time out that he's going to be a good defenseman in this league for years to come. And I really haven't seen him make a bad play all year. Have you?
No. No, I really haven't.
So
he's incredible right now.
And yeah, Girardi being, I don't want to say he's back to what he was 2-3 years ago, but he's at least holding his own out there. I mean, he can play a good amount of minutes and not make terrible mistakes. Time will tell with him if he can hold up,
right.
Basically. But so far he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, he's definitely holding his own and holding the zone, and
I think I'm gonna say that all year.
Anyway, so let's get into another new segment. Say what? So these are gonna be, we're gonna drop some quotes and just talk about who said it and whether we agree with it and just the whole background. So I actually have two. My first one is applicable to the Rangers. I just wanted to throw this one out. Really quickly, this is from Mark Stahl, and this is he made this quote Thursday night after they beat Edmonton at home, and this is actually a quote from a Dave Lozo Vice Sports article, which is very good. It's called "Are the New York Rangers for Real This Time?" He said, "This is Mark Stahl quote: Last year, Hank stole a bunch of games. We were opportunistic when we got our chances. We knew it at the time, but we kept winning, so we just kept going." It's hard to change when you're winning games like that. This time around, we're much better in our own zone. We're not giving up nearly as many chances in the middle of the ice. Our effort and our attention to detail are better. We're just we're just playing better. End quote.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much sums it up. I thought it was simplistic, but he's right. They're not giving up the chances. They're not banking on Hank to make all the saves. They're just going out there and straight up playing better than other teams.
Yeah, I mean, last year, the great start they had, every person who actually knew hockey last year, after the first 20 games, said to themselves, "We're winning games and we have a good record, but this team cannot make a run. They gave up way too many goals. They're playing terribly, terribly offensively. We're finding ways to scrape games." Like Stahl said, Hank would steal a game here and there. And our record was great on paper, but when you actually watch the games, you realize this team could not make a run. This year, you almost wonder who, every night I'm thinking, who can actually beat us? And
right.
I And I think to myself, okay, we're like last week, we're playing Washington. Okay, they could probably beat us, and they don't. You know, we're playing Tampa. They could probably beat us, and they don't. We're playing St. Louis. Wow, St. Louis can really score. They're probably going to beat us tonight. They don't. And not only are we winning, we're destroying teams.
It's convincing fashion, right?
Right. So I think he's got a great point. I think the most important thing he said was that, you know, they're not relying on Lundqvist night in and night out. I mean, he has to play well, but he doesn't have to be a superstar every night. I guess yeah. What he's going at, and that's from the team play around him. I mean, when you score four goals a game or more, it's hard to lose almost. You have to try to lose. I mean, you have to be really bad defensively,
defense like the Flyers are playing defense.
Exactly. I mean, if you can score 3-4 goals a night, night in and night out, it's going to be very difficult to lose games.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're spot on. I think Stahl's spot on. I think they recognize it, and this year feels different. It feels very different. Mm-hmm. Do you want to throw one of the quotes out?
Yeah, so I got a quote here. I'm going to have you guess who it was. It involves the Rangers. It's not necessarily a Ranger that said it, but the quote is, "That's a heck of a team that gave us a heck of a lesson tonight," end quote.
That's a great quote.
You know, it sounds like Tortorella, but it's not.
It does. Heck of a lesson.
Yep.
Is this person Canadian?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, actually. He's a coach, though. He's a coach.
I was going to say, is it Claude Julien?
It's not Claude Julien, but that is a great guess. It's actually Ken Hitchcock.
Okay.
After the Rangers
Kenny
lost,
Hitchcock.
Or after the Rangers won 5-0 against St. Louis last Tuesday. So
that's really awesome to hear. Yeah.
You know, it's nice. We can stand up here all night and say how good the Rangers are, being Ranger fans, and you guys listening out there can say, oh, the Rangers are great. But when you have an opposing coach basically in a nice way saying, holy shit, the Rangers are really good this year.
Right. That's pretty much what he said there.
That says something. And that was right after we you know, spanked fucking Tampa and then spanked St. Louis right after. Yeah. Two really good teams. Just what else can you say? I mean, I almost say it myself. It's just like, what is going on? Are these actually the Rangers that are playing like this?
Well, I agree. I think they're setting the benchmark of what a good or very, very good team in the current modern league should look like right now.
Yep.
You really
can't
argue with it. You're hearing it from opposing coaches. You're hearing it from the boys in the room. They're starting to understand. I mean, listen, all these guys are putting up points, but at the end of the day, they're taking away two from all these good teams that they're playing. So I think it's really encouraging to hear other coaches giving the respect they probably should. And obviously after a 5-0 loss, you're going to go back and look at the film, and I'm sure the Blues are going to learn their lessons, but they're going to have to watch the way that we attack them and try to make an example out of what we've been doing. So we're kind of setting the tone here, which is – that's nice. That's a very nice change.
Yeah, I mean, really quickly on that, if you had to pick Coach of the Year potentials after the first couple weeks of the season, you got to throw AV in there.
Yeah, of course.
You probably have to throw Michel Therrien in there. I mean, Montreal's phenomenal. You know, I'm just spitballing here, just thinking like AV has a chance at Coach of the Year if they can sustain this and make a run in the playoffs. But how many more quotes do you have? Because I have two more that I really want to get to.
Right,
so
yeah,
we should speed it up a bit.
Move a little quickly through these.
Yeah.
So I just have one more.
Okay, go ahead.
So here we go. All right, I'm gonna have you guess who said this as well.
Okay.
And who they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple clues in here. So, quote, "Our first game was against Russia, and he was the one player that kind of stuck out. I just remember he wore number 12 and was just a big left-handed centerman with a lot of skill. I think he scored a couple goals that game, too. That was the first time we played the Russians, and you kind of get scared playing against a guy like that. He was special at that age," end quote.
Does this have to do with the World Juniors or the Worlds?
They were, I believe, that both of these players at the time were 15 years old. So this is going back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna guess that was – they were talking about Buchnevich. Is that right?
No.
Oh. No. Well, now I'm stumped because I was on a roll where I was going to go with that. But just tell me now because now I'm stumped.
So I'll tell you who said it.
Okay.
And then you can clearly fill in who they're talking about. So that was from Patty Kane, last year's MVP.
Oh,
talking about playing Russia,
is it Tarasenko?
A special kid. What's that?
Is it not Tarasenko?
No. It is his line mate.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh. Oh, Panarin?
It is his other line mate.
Oh my God, what are you doing to me right now?
It is Artem Anisimov.
Jeez, you're throwing me for a loop there.
That was a stumper.
Wow. Okay, well, that makes sense now.
Right.
Oh, I should have known with the number 12.
Right, because Artem Anisimov is leading the NHL in point scoring with 15 points.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting quote. I don't know if he would have said that quote, if that ever would have come out to life, if Artie kept playing the way he was playing on the Rangers.
Yeah, good thing the Rangers held on to him, huh?
Yeah, about that.
I mean, he's not good anymore.
Nah, but he was frustrating when he was here. He was up and down.
He was.
You know what? He was a lot like Kreider for a time,
mm-hmm.
before Kreider turned into the monster that he is now.
Yep.
He was up and down, a lot of flashes, but nothing consistent. But anyway, I wish we had him now, of course.
Yeah, so I have another probably stumper that's going to be for you.
Go ahead, your turn.
It's actually out of the Players Tribune, which is great articles if you guys ever have time to go.
Love that website.
Check those out. The Players Tribune are players who basically want to write articles about things that are going on in the league, but they have like ghostwriters write them for them, so they're actually, you know, grammatically correct.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to take the name out here. So it's going to be quote. So I'm just going to say this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Plays with confidence and almost an arrogance, but I mean that in a good way, which allows him to try things on the ice that other defensemen wouldn't be able to do. So who are they talking about and who said it?
Ooh.
More so, who are they talking about?
That's tough. Can you give me a conference?
I'll tell you it's in the West, and it's on a team that's struggling currently.
They're talking about PK Subban?
No. Good guess, though. Good get the arrogance part. I can see how they got you there.
I can see why. Yeah.
Yeah. They're actually talking about Drew Doughty.
Oh,
okay. And it was actually Kevin Shattenkirk that wrote the article.
Okay.
And
I like
actually,
that.
if you have time to go look at the Players Tribune article that Shattenkirk wrote, it's actually two parts, and he basically just says what defensemen should be like in the NHL, and then he rates like his top defensemen in no specific order, but it's the guys you think it would be.
I like that though.
Just phenomenal, and he says exactly. Every player he talks about, he says why and what that player does that makes them a top defenseman in the league. It's really a great article.
Awesome.
I have one more that I just have to get to.
Yeah, go through it.
That I have to bring up on my phone. Give me one second.
Sure.
I saw it, and I just had to bring it up. here we go. Okay, so this was a few weeks ago, and it's going to be a couple different parts. So the first part of the quote is, I wish I could skate as fast as those guys. The next part is, I wish I was as big as those guys. It's really a different time. I say this all the time. I played in the right era, and I played with the right players. These guys today are just better and stronger, and everything is just better.
Wow.
Who's that?
Wow.
So it's obviously an old-time player talking about current players. And I'll let you guess, and then I'll give you a clue that'll probably give it away.
That's pretty tough. An old-time player.
Yeah, relatively.
Relatively.
I mean, it's not Bobby Orr, but it's somebody else.
Marty St. Louis?
No, great guess, though. The clue I'll give you is it was right before the Edmonton-Toronto game played, and they were talking about Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid and all those guys. Let's just say the player, the guy that quoted it, is he's kind of great.
Is it the great one?
It's the great one.
It's the great one. Got it.
Dude, I so much respect for that quote because he realizes that, you know, when he came into the league, it was played much differently. And I think he almost kind of for lack of better terms, he kind of shit on himself saying,
yeah.
You know, if I had played in a league today, I wouldn't have been as skilled or as talented or wouldn't have put up as many points as I did when I played against these guys who were bigger and better at everything, which is just kind of amazing.
He's right. It is amazing
right.
to hear the greatest guy to ever pick up a stick or ever put on skates, ever to lace him up, hear him talking about himself like that. But he's spot
humble.
On.
He's humble about it.
He's an incredibly humble guy. Did you see what he said after the alumni outdoor game?
Oh, when he was
really
disappointed
in his performance, actually beating himself up over it.
The guy's like 60 years old.
Oh man, he's just a great one. Also, he was at the Garden this week when Edmonton was in town, so that was nice. He got a nice little ovation. He said he loved playing in New York, and that he loved it for his family too, and that's not shocking. But
listen, the guy's 55 years old, and he's upset that he can't play hockey like he used to. That is just the sign of a true champion and hockey player at heart.
That is just awesome.
Yeah.
That is just awesome. Oh, wow. We have some breaking news. We have breaking news. This just dropped. John Scott has announced his retirement. Wow.
Really?
Ex-Ranger.
Dude.
Ex-2016 All-Star Game MVP. Wow.
Wow.
Hey, we wish him the best on the golf course in retirement.
I just read an article a couple of days ago about how this year the NHL was going to put limitations on the voting because, you know, everyone remembers he got voted in on a write-in basis. You could write in the player that the fans wanted to see in the game. And they were talking this year about how they're still going to have the write-in portion of it. But now it's going to be the NHL
or something.
Well, no, it's going to be that the NHL can determine if they're like, I forget the exact quote, but it was like, if the write-in player has to be like an elite NHL quality player, like in quotes, like they were going to determine who is actually qualified to be voted in, which is just, I mean, the league, that was a complete fucking debauchery last year. That everything about it was just him getting traded so that he couldn't play, and he got sent to the minors, and then him being able to come back up and then scoring 3 goals. And you could tell all the players wanted him to do well, and he played phenomenal. And then the NHL, you know, they don't even take credit for the fact that he played so well or realize that they did something really terrible. It was just a terrible thing all around for the league.
# make the league fun again.
Right. I mean, do we really want to become the NFL?
No,
like, really?
We do not. We'll wrap this up. We just want to get to the week in review really quickly, but I just wanted to throw out a quote that I heard during, I believe, the first intermission report of Saturday night's game against the Boston Bruins. So Steve Alliquette, Stevie V, who I hope he's listening. We'll see. But he called Marchand, quote, the rat that he is, end quote.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
That's a classic Ryan Whitney line.
He described him as a rat, which everybody knows, everybody agrees with. It's just great to hear one of our guys saying it out loud like that.
He's a rat.
But, so quickly, the week ahead, we have tonight's game, which you will be attending. We're home against Winnipeg. They are 5-6-1. They did just beat Detroit, the Red Wings, and they've been kind of waiting. I think they were just hanging out in Manhattan last night while we were in Boston. They had the day off, just waiting around, probably checking out the
bar. Hell of a place to hang out for a night, huh?
Yeah, it's okay, especially coming from Winnipeg. It's decent.
Right. Yeah, the interesting thing here is, you know, I mean, the game is not so interesting itself. It in theory should be a pretty easy win for the Rangers.
Right.
But the interesting thing is going to have all the scouts out. You know, obviously Trouba's not playing, but just to have people around talking about what can potentially happen with Trouba. You know, if he doesn't sign by December 1st, he can't play, period.
Right.
Not just he can't play for Winnipeg, he can't play, period.
Right,
so,
at all.
You know, they have under a month now to get this guy either signed or traded so he can sign somewhere. The clock is ticking here. So
I agree.
It's interesting to see where he'll end up, possibly in a blue shirt. I don't know.
Possibly.
We'll see.
If the price was right, I mean, he's a good player, and he's really young. He's 23. But that's another – we'll talk about that in the future.
Yep.
So Sunday night at home against Winnipeg. Tuesday night at home against Vancouver, they are 4-7-1. Again, you look at that game and you think, you should probably win. That's probably a win.
Yep.
Also, it's the last game at home before they head out and their first official Road Warrior trip of the year.
Going out to Western Canada.
Western Canada, eh? So on Saturday, November 12th, they are in Calgary against the Flames team that's 5-7-1, but I feel like the record might not necessarily speak as to how skilled that team is.
I can speak to Calgary.
Their
team is basically, it depends on Elliott. Their team is Elliott.
Fair.
If he has a good game, which he's put up, you know, a few in a row recently until last night. If Elliott plays well, they play well and they can win. If Elliott has a stinker like he did last night, giving up 5 goals, then, you know, they suck. So it's really a team that's driven behind Elliott and their goaltending. So we'll see which version of Calgary we get on Saturday, next Saturday. So
right. Sure. And then so yeah, Saturday night and then Sunday night they play
great
in Edmonton.
Rematch.
So yeah, we get the rematch. Edmonton coming off, they beat the Islanders last night on the island, or in Brooklyn rather, and they're 8-3-1. Obviously, we know what we're getting with them. They're a solid hockey team. That'll be a really entertaining game.
You might have just really hurt some Islanders' feelings there.
It's okay.
Yeah, fuck them, right? No, but so I suspect we'll probably get Raanta against Calgary because I'm guessing that they're going to want Lundqvist to get a rematch over there in Edmonton.
Yeah, I would think so.
A really good team. But yeah, I mean, you look at those next four games this upcoming week, and you got to think you'd really like to get at least 3 out of 4. Hopefully 4 out of 4 if we can prove to Edmonton that we're better than them, you know, twice in a week. I would hope to get at least 3. I mean, I'm going to be optimistic and say I think we'll probably get 4, to be honest. So
that would be nice. That would be great.
Probably jump us up even higher in the standings. So
it would just keep rolling. So that's about it for the pod. Any last thoughts that you wanted to add, or should we just wrap it up here?
No, I mean, I kind of keep thinking to myself, like, when is this team going to let us down? And they really haven't too big yet. So, just
good times at the Garden for sure right now.
Bet the over for the Rangers.
Definitely bet the over on the Rangers. And also be sure to subscribe to our pod on iTunes. Tell all your friends, Ranger fans or not, everybody that appreciates hockey, we would love to get their input and have them hear our voices.
And
give us
five
stars if you feel we deserve it.
Yeah,
throw
and
us stars.
We are in the works again of getting some guests on here. We're actually going to be appearing on some other podcasts in the future, so we'll give you the links to those once those goes up. But we're looking to get some guests on here and have some more fun with this.
Very, very excited about it. So thank you guys for listening, and be sure to tune in next week. This little time.